following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
You know, Greeny, those La Quinta people are geniuses.
How so, Mensa man?
They've got this new instant hold mobile feature that lets you hold a room at the last minute with just one finger and your phone number.
That is really smart.
It's a whole new ballgame, and all you have to do is punch in your phone number using your smartphone.
No credit card number?
Nope.
No mother's maiden name?
No.
No your pet's first name?
No.
No surfing squirrels?
No. Wait, what?
I was just making sure you were paying attention.
La Quinta Inns and Suites take care of you so you can take care of business.
Instant hold your next stay on your smartphone at LQ.com.
Right now at the Home Depot, save up to 15% on all in-stock wood fencing from pickets to panels when you buy in bulk. That could knock any fence project down to size in a hurry. And our wide selection of wood choices and styles puts everything you need within easy reach. So come in, load up, and save a bundle with up to 15% off all in-stock wood fencing when you buy in bulk. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Exclusions apply. U.S. only. See store for details.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation on this Wednesday. It is our 12th team in 12 days, and you know what that means. It's Nebraska. Time to take our first real big look at Nebraska's football team this fall. We'll, of course, also get comments on Penn State, rest of the teams in the league, kind of a picture overall as Nebraska heads into their second year. Our guest today will be Mike Babcock of Hail Varsity, a new magazine. We'll ask him about that. Also, Sean Callahan from HuskerOnline.com, who will once again be in the area with Husker Lunches this year. Sip couldn't join us today because everybody else is on vacation at the Journal Star, but we've told you about that the last couple of weeks. He's getting ready to go to Chicago today as well. And that's where I and Mike will be Thursday and Friday, the next 2 days, with extended shows 11 to 1 or even a little bit past. We expect, by the way, that Nebraska will be some of the first folks that we talk to tomorrow. They are up right away at 11 o'clock, 11:15 for radio coverage, and we expect to have Will Compton, Kyler Reed, Rex Burkhead on the program, possibly hear from Coach Bo Pelini as well to start things off. So don't be late tomorrow if you want to get the very latest from the Huskers. Their practices, of course, begin on the 4th. So that's coming up the next couple of days. Of course, you've got American Legion Baseball, a lot of area champions crowned last night, a couple of more tonight. The All-Star Volleyball game played last night. The Coaches Clinic wraps up with the All-Star Softball game coming up this evening. And before we get into the Huskers, it's our weekly Loper Link every Wednesday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And in the summertime, there's not always a lot to talk about, but we do have a story here for you in our Loper Link brought to you by Charter West National Bank of Kearney. Let Russ Smith help you with all your lending needs. You have the reasons, they have the loans. And by Garrett Tire, Tread, and Appliance. Foam fill industrial tires for no more flats or downtime. But if you happen to have it, they do have on the farm tire service for you at Garrett. Right now, the UNK men's basketball team is coming together for the 2012 season. In the last week here, they signed guard Philip Freeman, who is from Apple Valley, Minnesota, 6-footer, native out of Apple Valley, is the fourth recruit for UNK. Spent the last 2 years at Hibbing, Minnesota Community College, where he led the team in scoring. This last year, he averaged 19 points, over 6 rebounds, and 3.5 assists per game, 72% free throw shooter. He was named to the All-Region team. He was tabbed as the National Player of the Week a couple of times. UNK will be returning all RMAC players Mike Dentlinger and John Henderson, along with sophomore Tyler Shields. Also coming in, wing P. Pierre Newton, guard Sammy Bozzi, and forward Alex Starkle out of Norfolk High School. But the latest signee, which should about finish out this recruiting class, is going to be out of Hibbing, Minnesota Community College, and that is guard Philip Freeman. So that's what's going on in the world of Loper sports, and they're just a couple of weeks away from beginning fall ball as well, and will be all over the Lopers as they enter the MIAA. Call Russ Smith at China West National Bank of Kearney, where he offers all types of loans from new construction, home, commercial, and for the seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons they have the loans, and at Garrett Tire, Trend, and Appliance, for all your vehicles, big or small, automotive, AC service, doesn't matter. They're there for you, and you can check them out. Maybe you need some new appliances at GarrettTire.net. Find out the very latest for this week's Loper Link. Of course, we're going to be getting into our Husker Roundtable, and that is going to dominate most of the show. We encourage you to send us emails if you would like to have a question answered while we're at Big Ten Media Days on Thursday and Friday. Send it to the Dead Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Another local note, the Kearney Little Leaguers are going to be staying busy. They're going to Indianapolis, and they're working to pay their way. Not only does the Little League qualify, but these youngsters are going to be extremely busy before they take off next week on August the 1st, 1 week from today for Indianapolis. Coach Brad Wagner and his assistant coaches Todd Hurgis and Monty Dakin have a great crew of kids that are going to try and get one step closer, because that's kind of what Kearney's Little League has done every year that they have went to the Midwest Regional last year, making it to the championship game. And tonight, you'll be able to order Little Caesars Pizza from 5 until 8. Every Little Caesars Pizza order, takeout, delivery, 15% goes to the Kearney Little Leaguers to help pay their expenses. So tonight, order some Little Caesars Pizza between 5 and 8 and help the Kearney Little League. The Little Leaguers will also be at Apple Market with their annual hot dog stand Friday from 11 to 1. So for lunch on Friday, swing by the Apple Market parking lot. It's going to be a little warm, so help the youngsters out. Raise some money from 11 to 1 on Friday. Saturday, they've got a car wash at Builders from 11 to 2. Plus, they'll be selling raffle tickets, giving away an Ndamukong Suh autographed jersey. It's 1 for 5 or 3 for 10. Players, parents, sites that the kids are at, you can contact them to pick up your raffle tickets and help them out as they try to get to Williamsport for the first time in Kearney Little League history. After they get back, they're going to rest. The parents need some rest, and Bruce Furniture is the place to do it. Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance, they can get you the Serta mattress. They can get you the brand-new recliner, the living room set. Maybe you just need some office furniture. And, of course, folks, as you may be sending your kids off to college this fall, Bruce Furniture is right there for your trade-ins on in-home pieces that still have some life in them. There is a growing demand for people with good used items, so maybe you're moving out the used. They'll even take it to the apartment or the dorm or wherever it needs to go. Bruce Furniture, just right for you. Check them out on Facebook and online as well. Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance. We will dive in to our Big Red Roundtable. It's the Husker Roundtable with Mike Babcock and Sean Callahan when we come back on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
Flooring with high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 800-265-4352 to get your free copy now. 800-265-4352. 800-265-4352.
Either Chestnut or Kobayashi showed up at the ESPN Radio Superstation Doug and Daddy Hot Dog Eating Contest. In the end, with 14 downed dogs, it was Billy Fletcher of Holdridge walking away with his head high and his stomach full.
I think today has pushed me to my limits, and I don't think I'm going to ever do that again.
So are you telling us right now that you will not be back to defend your crown next year?
Yeah, I'll be back.
Oh, okay.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, where champions are crowned sometimes one dog at a time.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today. A chance of scattered showers and storms developing as we head to a high near 98. Winds turning north at 5 to 15. Tonight, chance of showers and storms early on, then a low cooling to 66. Right now, it's 84.
It's that time. 12 teams in 12 days leading you up to Big Ten Media Days, July 26th through the 28th. We'll preview a different team each day. We'll head to the Legends Division for today's team.
Nebraska.
The Cornhuskers.
It's time for 12 teams in 12 days now on the Doug and Daddy Show.
And we're back on the Doug and Daddy Show with the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Be sure to see the guys on South 2nd Avenue as part of our Big Red coverage continues. We've done 12 teams in 12 days, and I guess Monday we didn't do Iowa because we had all the Penn State stuff going on, and that's ironic in its own way. But we'll catch up with Iowa, of course, tomorrow and Friday while we are in Chicago. But as we do every year lately, before the season and then at the end of the season, we've got our Husker Roundtable. And really, this Penn State mess has messed everybody up. Steve Sippel will not be able to join us today due to his work at the Lincoln Journal-Star. And Mike Babcock from Hail Varsity is with us. Sean Callahan is with us from Husker Online. We appreciate everybody joining us again. And good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Great to have you on. And as we've told the folks, a lot of guys take vacation this time of the year. And then when college football media days get going, Sean, that's really when it starts, because we're going to be at Chicago this weekend. Practice starts for the Huskers next weekend, and then it's a six-month job for sure for all of you guys.
Yep, we have to go to work now. It's been kind of a slow summer from a Nebraska standpoint, but yeah, now, with the Penn State stuff this week and media days in Chicago, and then fan photo day on Friday, practice the following Saturday on August 4th, it's a six-month sprint now. We're from, August all the way to National Signing Day. It's pretty busy.
Mike, we knock on wood. It's a good thing when it's quiet around the Nebraska campus. That means there's no off-the-field incidents and nothing crazy going on.
Yeah, and I think this summer has been a little bit out of the ordinary in that context. Really, we really haven't had anything that has sort of risen up and complicated the summer for people that on the Husker beat. So I think that is definitely a positive thing, and I think it's also probably an indication of Bo Pelini's 4 years into it now as coach. I think there's a comfort level there that that maybe wasn't there in previous summers. So I think it's a combination of things, but it certainly is a positive.
Well, let's get into, we'll be breaking down some of what we think is going to happen with Nebraska and our concerns and our optimism a little bit later on in the interview. But let's get to, I guess, the other stuff out of the way. Mike, you're the veteran when it comes to covering Husker sports and been doing it for 40 years. Take a look at where we are at. No one can say that they've seen anything like what has happened at Penn State. Give me just your overall feeling of what you heard Monday and how that's going to affect the Big Ten Conference, not just Penn State.
Well, it's such an unprecedented thing, as you indicate, and during the time that I've done this, I haven't seen anything quite like it, and I don't think there's obviously, there's no roadmap on how to proceed with something like this. So I think the NCAA was obviously in uncharted waters. I was a little bit curious to see how that would play out, because there was no precedent really, and there was in an area that some people wanted to say that the NCAA didn't have any a final authority on it, that it was more of a legal matter and outside the context. But I was a little bit surprised, but gratified also that the NCAA took the stance that it did. Now, right or wrong, I think that this is such a difficult situation that somebody had to step up and make a decision and take some action. I thought the NCAA did, and I commend the NCAA for what it did, because it wasn't an easy thing because of the unprecedented nature of what happened at Penn State. So I credit the NCAA, and I've never seen anything quite like this, but I thought that when somebody in a position of authority had to make a decision, the NCAA did, and I think that's very important.
Sean Callahan, can you believe when you were in-state college for the Husker game last November that this is where we would be this July?
No, I mean, obviously, you knew the ramifications were going to be large, but it's just, you know, they say it's not the death penalty, but really this is death by paper cut. You know, they're just going to slowly, slowly die, and everyone's going to suffer around that state college and Penn State football community. I just think about it from our end. If this happened at a place like here at Nebraska, I couldn't even imagine how different all of our lives would become if Nebraska football had to go through something like this. And it's going to be the same thing for those people up at Penn State. And, you know, on the one end, you do feel for the current students and the fans that have nothing to do with what happened. But then you can say, you know what? What do you say to all the victims and the people? You know, the scandal covered this event, covered this up, and allowed more victims to happen over the years, where Joe Paterno and the administration at Penn State could have put an end to this thing a long time ago, and you know there would have been way less victims than what ended up being. So yeah, it's a terrible day, and you know I look at it like this. I think it really hurts the overall brand of the Big Ten, because you know when Nebraska joined the league, they talked about how adding that big name program like Nebraska just strengthens the brand so much more because you've got that many more marquee games. Well, now the Penn State brand has taken a big drop, and it's going to drop more and more every year, and that's going to weaken the TV value of the league and all the other revenue rights of the league just by not having that big branded school in Penn State. You know, where now it's Ohio State and Michigan, and then you've got brands like Nebraska and Wisconsin and Iowa and Michigan State, but that's a big brand to really lose, and you know Penn State's going to be around, but their stock is obviously not going to be worth what it was, you know, the past 30, 40 years.
Sean Callahan, Mike Babcock, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on this Wednesday before Media Day in our Husker Roundtable. Everybody has to compare it to SMU because that's the strictest penalty that's ever happened. Mike, is there anything that you can compare this to that Nebraska has ever been a part of? How it's going to affect Nebraska?
No, I don't think so, and I don't. You know, even the SMU thing is a poor comparison because I think that the, you know, SMU had to do with competitive advantage and student athletes, and it was more an on the field type thing. As smarter people than I have pointed out, the Penn State thing transcended that. I mean, it was more than just athletics, and you know, it wasn't a matter of competitive advantage and that sort of thing. It was a cultural thing, and as Sean said, you know, we're not just talking about the institution. We're not talking about Penn State athletic department. We're not just talking about Penn State, the university, and its students. We're talking about the community. You know, the area. I mean, it's all a part of that thing, and the fallout is being felt far beyond where that occurred. So, you know, yeah, SMU got the death penalty, and we saw what that did to SMU, and probably SMU has still not recovered from that 1 year of not being allowed to compete in football. But in some ways, even though Penn State didn't get the death penalty, and again, I think Sean said death by paper cuts. I mean, the sanctions amounted to that, I think, and could have even more far-reaching effect on Penn State football.
Well, so we don't talk Penn State for a whole half hour here. Sean, last kind of question on that. These Penn State kids now can leave the program and transfer immediately if they want to. The timing is horrible. I think you may see a kid that transfers next season or in the off season. Were there any kids that went to Penn State that Nebraska was going after, and how does another school even begin approaching some of these kids?
Well, yeah, I don't, you know, by rule, Nebraska can't contact these guys, but the kids, their high school coach can contact Nebraska, or Nebraska can reach out to the high school coach, I think, and that would be within the rules. They had a tight end from Maryland that they recruited pretty heavily, and he actually was really close to committing to Nebraska, and then he ended up sticking with Penn State when O'Brien came on board. But I just have a hard time imagining any high school kids at least the next two or three years wanting to go there, because you're not going to get an opportunity to play for a championship. I mean, they've had to play with 65 scholarships for the 2014, 15, 16, and 17 seasons. 65 scholarships. and not go to a bowl game in 13, 14, 15, and 16. That's just crippling. I mean, you're basically going to be competing against MAC schools for kids right now. You're not going to be able to get any high-quality kids to want to go there unless they just truly believe and bleed Penn State and want to get it back turned around there. Other than that, it's going to be hard to convince a lot of high-profile national kids to want to go there, and for the obvious reasons I just mentioned.
Well, an informal poll came out last week because the Big Ten does a couple of things different than what we were used to in the old Big Eight and the Big 12. There's not really an official media poll going into media days, but when we were doing the other 11 teams in the conference, pretty much by default, everybody thought Wisconsin would win the leaders division. At least they get to go to the championship game because Ohio State's ineligible. And then it was mixed up in the legends division, but a majority took Michigan. Sean, when you saw that poll, was there anything that stuck out to you or that you really thought wasn't correct?
I think you have to go with Michigan to win the legends division right now. You know, they just returned so much. They won the Sugar Bowl. You know, they beat Nebraska. They beat Ohio State. Michigan State's the team that's hard to kind of figure out. Their defense is going to be really good with Golston and some of the guys they return in the secondary that come back. I mean, the question will be what kind of play can they get out of their new quarterback, you know, replacing Kirk Cousins. That will be million-dollar question, and Nebraska does have to go out to Michigan State. So if you're doing an objective poll, you know, you almost have to maybe lean towards Michigan State today over Nebraska, just because that game will be played in, you know, the game will be played in Lansing. But you know, Nebraska has Wisconsin in Lincoln. They have Michigan in Lincoln. Penn State is a game that should win now in Lincoln. Really, for Nebraska, that Michigan game and Wisconsin game at home, if they can win those two home games, you know, they're going to be right there to win the division. And, you know, it sets up that division title will have to go through Memorial Stadium in some way or another.
Mike Babcock and Sean Callahan with us on our Husker Roundtable here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mike, I'm not hearing anybody put any of these Big Ten teams up for national title consideration. Is there somebody that maybe they should be putting up for that?
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know the question. I don't know the answer to that. Going into the season, I guess I would look at the way you know, the experts look at it. I don't know that you're looking at a Big Ten team in that top four or five teams that could realistically compete. But you know, that's part of the problem, I guess. You know, my perspective is from somebody that's old and watched this thing. You know, I can remember back when there really wasn't much stock taken in preseason polls, and you know, for a time you could go back far enough where polls weren't released until the season got going. And so that's one of the things now we're analyzing this stuff in the summer, and we're trying to figure out you know, what teams are going to be playing for the national championship, and people, you know, have made those declarations or whatever. And so in that context, I'd say no, there probably isn't. But once the season gets going and we see how some of these things play out, I think it, you know, never say never. I think there's a potential for some, for a team like Michigan, for example, or Wisconsin, when we have some questions answered for players that are stepping in, you know, maybe they would make a run. I don't think that it's an indictment of the conference to say that. I just think that we have to wait till the season gets going based on what happened last season, which is kind of how we make our determination, I guess. You know, it didn't look like that's going to be the case, but once the season gets going, I think there's certainly the quality in the Big Ten would allow for something, for a team to be competitive and make a run. And like Sean said, I think Michigan's going to be pretty good. Obviously, Nebraska gets Michigan here, and I think Michigan State is going to be pretty good. We know that Wisconsin could be so. And I think Nebraska could be pretty good. I don't know that Nebraska's a national championship contender at this point, but you know, I've been wrong about a lot of things, and I feel like the program's going in a good direction. So get into the season a couple of weeks and then take a look at it, or wait till the conference season begins, and then you get some sense of what's going to happen and whether the Big Ten's going to have a team or two that are in the national conversation.
I've been jotting down questions from time to time over the last couple of weeks to talk about on our roundtable today, and I'll pose the question to both of you because Bo Pelini has been in the limelight of the media, and again, the Journal Star, I have to pick on them once again. They put up Mad Bo again on Husker Extra this week just because the media poll was up there and they were third, so they had a picture of Mad Bo. How is covering the Huskers with all the social media different today than it was, well, Sean, when you started, and Mike, I guess, you know, 15 years ago, maybe when the new press box got opened in Lincoln. You first, Mike, how is it different covering the Huskers, and does it actually affect the way that they coach and play on the field?
Well, it has an effect. Now, whether it directly, whether you could say it affects how somebody coaches, I think it does have an effect on how you coach, because I think that, coaches obviously want to control everything. I'll give an example that, puts it in a historical context, but it's a small example. But, you know, when Nebraska played Kansas State in Japan, and the teams went on the same plane, and Bill Snyder, you know, first of all, wanted to make sure that his team was on, and I don't remember which side of the plane it was, but he wanted a certain side of the plane, right down to the point of on the in-flight food service, they gave you butter either in pats or those little paper cups. You know how butter comes? And he wanted, I don't remember whether he wanted in patties or cups, you know, whatever. Okay, so to me, that's the ultimate. That's the way coaches look at things. They want to control everything. So now you throw this social media in there, and you got guys tweeting, and you got all this, you know, interaction on Facebook and so forth. It's definitely going to affect the way you coach, because it opens up your program in a way that it was never opened before.
Sean?
I think that's significant.
Sean, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I mean, for me, it's a lot different than Mike. I mean, I was really probably the first true internet guy to cover Nebraska. There weren't a lot of truly online guys when I first got going, and that's how I started really covering the team, was on the radio and being an online guy with Rivals.com. And it's amazing just to see how much this has grown. When I first started, I remember they barely gave me a credential, and they told me the internet has no place covering Nebraska football, really. And now it's obviously the main area most Husker fans go to get their news. And with Twitter and the message boards, especially our message board, the Red Sea Scrolls, it really controls, I guess it's the pulse of the program in some ways. And, when things are going bad, that's not a place you want to be on sometimes, because a lot of fans, can really air out their frustrations, and we have to really moderate those boards. And it does make its way. The player, majority of the players' families are on there, and the coaching staff reads that stuff, and they may downplay it, but I can tell you they're on there. They read that stuff, they see that stuff, and it can affect you and, make you feel, maybe if you're a Bo Pelini who's won 39 games in 4 years, sometimes Bo gets a feeling of being unappreciated, I think that can affect him. Yeah, there's always those times where, they lose the big game at the end of the year, and people are kind of doom and gloom about the way the year went, and that does get to Bo. I think it bothers him at times because he feels like he has done a lot here, but with Nebraska fans, it's never enough. Even in 97, a close game against Central Florida, people were booing Scott Frost at Memorial Stadium. I mean, so no matter how good the team is here, Husker fans seem to always want more and demand more. And now with social media, it makes that even more apparent.
Hey, Doug, Sean, I'll give you an example of how it's different. And we got Fan Day coming up, right?
Yeah.
And what is it, an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever at Memorial Stadium?
Yeah, big 90 minutes, I believe.
Okay, so somebody gave me a picture that was taken from Fan Day, or they used to call it Media Day or Photo Day or whatever. And this is probably, this was probably in the early 80s when Tom Osborne was coach. And the picture, it's from that day. It's from Photo Day. And the picture is Tom Osborne is standing there talking to two reporters. One is me, and one is Tom Ash, who was covering it for the Omaha World Herald at the time, covering the beat. And there are two little kids waiting on the side in the picture, waiting to get Tom Osborne's autograph. Okay, on Photo Day. Now, come to Photo Day this year, and try to imagine that two reporters would be on the field talking to Bo Pelini with a couple of little kids waiting around to get Bo Pelini's autograph. And those are the only people in the picture. It would be bizarre. It'd be like the Twilight Zone.
Can you imagine a line mic next week for Rex Burkhead?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's where the social media, the internet, reporting on the program has changed. And Sean, don't you think there are days when Bo Pelini talks to the reporters after practice where there are people there that Bo Pelini has never seen before? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I think the one thing too I would say that's different, guys, is there are way more television cameras that come to practice. When I first started, really, you didn't have TV cameras that came to practice every day. You'd have them come on the news conference and maybe practices here and there. Now you have 8 to 10 cameras minimum that come to practice every day, and just having that camera presence every day, because every single newspaper, we have a camera guy. Everybody, I just think it changes just a perspective of covering this team and what it's like. Is this, I mean, other than maybe Alabama, I would say Nebraska is one of the most covered teams in the country. I can't think of any other ones more covered than Nebraska and Alabama, just from the people I talk to around college football.
And we cover them wire to wire here on the Doug and Danny Show. Mike Babcock of the new magazine Hail Varsity, Sean Callahan, Husker Online, joining us here. We're going to take a break and get into Husker football on the field right after this on the Doug and Danny Show.
Vamanos, muchachos! We ride!
Everyone knows how scary a flat tire can be. Imagine getting one at 100 miles an hour. Hi, I'm Sal Fish, CEO of the Score Baja 1000. Flat tires used to be a big problem for Baja racers, but with Slime Tire Sealant, flat tires are a thing of the past. Slime is the official tire sealant of the Baja 1000 because the bottom line is, if you get a flat, you lose. So listen, buy some slime, put it in your tires, and don't get caught flat.
Get your green slime at Pep Boys and Home Depot.
Okay, America, Wendell here. This summer, we need to start doing our High Life duty. See, for every bottle cap and can tab returned, High Life will donate 10 cents towards showing our vets some love. So fire up that grill and invite over your guys, your gals, and anybody who ever loans you a power tool and start popping tops. It's your High Life duty, America.
Donations split between IAVA and Operation Homefront. Cap and tabs must be received by September 30th, 2012. Maximum total donation of $800,000 for all 2012 High Life veterans promotions. Minimum total donation $350,000. Must be 21 or older. For details, visit MillerHighLife.com. Great beer, great responsibility. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney know health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today, chance of scattered showers and storms developing as we head to a high near 98, winds turning north at 5 to 15. Tonight, chance of showers and storms early on, then a low cooling to 66. Right now, it's 86.
Back on the Doug and Daddy Show, where our guests are taken care of by our friends at BK, two locations in Kearney for Burger King, also Lexington, Cozad, North Platte. It's so darn hot. Get in there for a real fruit smoothie this afternoon, and that will make you feel even better at BK. As we said, Mike Babcock and Sean Callahan are with us on this Wednesday Husker Roundtable as we are in Chicago Thursday and Friday. We'll be there live. Hail Varsity will be there, and of course, Sean will be there as well. Sean, there was no spring game because of the storm. How much does that affect what we know about the team and give a little mystery to go into the fall camp?
I mean, I think especially for Taylor Martinez, that's the one thing. Having the spring game would have been nice just to get a chance for the fans to maybe see Taylor throw and see some of these improvements, because going into that opener, there's just going to be such a curiosity as to how much better Taylor Martinez has gotten. And we didn't get to see that in the red-white game. And, you know, a couple other guys, like some of the – and then even a Jamal Turner. He's somebody I think people want to see where he's at. And then on the defense, you know, you have some newcomers like Mohamed Cisse at corner and Zaire Anderson. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of questions, kind of wondering what some of these guys look like and how they're going to be utilized here in the defense going forward. And, you know, in some ways I think Bo Pelini likes that, having that card in his pocket, that there wasn't really a spring game for – the Big Ten Network to air, and people really couldn't see much of what Nebraska had going into this year. And I think Bo Pelini likes to be in this position right now. You know, the last 2 years, they've been the favorites. They were picked to win the North and picked to win the Big 12 a couple years ago pretty much by some people. And then this past year, they were picked to win the Big 10 by a lot of people, and they came up short both years. Well, now it kind of almost reminds me back to 2009, when nobody really expected Nebraska to have a chance to be good, and that was Bo Pelini's best team, and they almost won the Big 12 and upset Texas that year. In some ways, I see this team being like that. No one's really expecting them to do much, and that seems to be when Bo Pelini's teams play their best.
Nobody knew how good Sue was going into that year either. Hey, Mike, from a current this year's team standpoint, is there really any negative to not having that spring game?
You know, I don't think so. I think more the interest, you know, the fan interest and the reporter interest. I mean, Sean Manson mentioned Cisse. I wanted to see him in the spring game, see how he performed. And, you know, you're going to see some guys in the spring game that, you know, haven't done anything yet. They played on the scout squad or whatever. They're going to have an opportunity to step in there and show what they can do. And, the spring game is choreographed, so, it's difficult to get a good evaluation on guys, but you would just like to see them out on the field, you know, play in a position that they were recruited for. We don't get a watch practice, so we don't see these guys on the scout squad, but there's got to be some sort of liberation for those guys, you know, after a season on the scout squad, red shirting, and now you're getting an opportunity to show what you can do. And so I always enjoyed that part of it, but, you know, I'm not really smart enough to make significant evaluations of a player in a spring game, just the way, you know, the nature of the game and so forth. So from that standpoint, from a spectator standpoint, I think it was a negative, but from a team standpoint, I don't think it was that big of an issue. You know, Bo didn't want to show a whole lot in a spring game, obviously, and so they would have held back a lot of things. And I think if it would have been really important to have that 15th practice, I think they would have made some sort of decision on how to get that done, even if it wasn't in a spring game context. So, no, from the team preparation, I don't think it was that big a deal.
Talking with Mike Babcock and Sean Callahan here on the Doug and Daddy Show, let's get into Taylor Martinez now. He has been the most talked about player I can ever remember when it comes to the Huskers, and I think, again, that's because we have so much more social media and radio talk shows in the state of Nebraska. But I still get that feeling, Mike, that a majority of Husker fans blame Taylor every time that this football team loses. I think he's going to have a great year, and then he's just come back, worked a little bit here down at the Manning camp. Does that give Husker fan some hope that he's working with the Mannings?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the thing that I think it shows to me is that he's made a commitment to try to get better. He's doing as many things as he can to get better, and I think your observation about social media in the context of the way things are covered now has just ratcheted up something that's always been the case, you know, that it's a coaching cliche. The quarterback gets too much blame when things go right and too much or too much blame when things go wrong and too much praise when things go right. He's the lightning rod. He's the focal point. And I think with Taylor Martinez, you're seeing that in dramatic fashion at a time when everything is ratcheted up with social media and so forth. And so the expectations are probably, you know, the expectations that are put on Taylor Martinez, sometimes I wonder if they're ever going to be achieved because it's so unrealistic. And so when we go into the season, we say, well, I think Taylor Martinez is going to have an outstanding junior season. And I think that's very possible. The problem is, how do you define outstanding? What does that mean? And so if the team is not as successful as people think, they're going to think that he's not as successful as they expected him to be. And I just think that it's a time-honored thing, coaching cliche, but that quarterback is a lightning rod, and definitely Taylor Martinez is a good example of that cliche. He's going to get a lot of praise if things go right, and he's going to get a lot of criticism if things go wrong, and the truth is somewhere in between.
Sean, a lot of folks, when they want to defend Taylor, will say the kid hasn't even played for the same offensive coordinator since he was in junior high school. All the transfers he had in high school, then the coaching changes at Nebraska. What is your expectations for him this year if he's 100% healthy like it sounds he is?
Well, yeah, I expect him to take a big step forward. He spent a lot of time training this offseason, obviously here in Lincoln, but then on the downtime he's worked out with an instructor named Steve Calhoun. Last season it wasn't his foot that bothered him. He had a turf toe or toe injury, and you know he was still fast, but he didn't have that push off, that burst that you know we saw him have a year ago or 2 years ago. And you know this summer I've been told he's been clocked at 4.3 in the 40, and he's running like he did as a freshman. And I think if he has that element, because he didn't have any of those runs and show that same kind of speed like he did as a freshman. There were moments like as a freshman in the Washington game and the Kansas State game that you were like, wow. Well, there weren't a lot of those moments with Taylor Martinez this year, and I think a lot of that had to do with he was a little bothered by that foot, and the one area he came a long way in my opinion, is his game management skills. He did not know how to really manage a game as a freshman, and that was evident in moments like the Big 12 championship game where he threw interceptions in the end zone instead of throwing it away out of bounds and taking a field goal and leaving points off the board. I mean, he pretty much almost cost Nebraska a Big 12 championship game or Big 12 championship by just not knowing how to manage a game. He took so many big sacks. Well, he didn't have a lot of those moments last year. He only threw one interception from the Ohio State game in the second half all the way on to the end of the year. His interceptions were way down over the final 7.5 games of the year, and I thought he made a lot of strides. You could really only say the Wisconsin game was the only game that he truly lost Nebraska. He didn't lose in the Michigan game. His best game of the year of throwing the ball was against Northwestern, and in the bowl game, obviously that wasn't his fault either. I think he came a long way, and you really couldn't point the finger at him for any of the losses other than the Wisconsin game. And he's a well-liked guy on the team. That's a misconception. You hear a lot of guys think he's not very popular or well-liked because he's kind of quiet and doesn't have a lot of personality. But if you talk to anybody, coaches, players, they like this guy. He's one of the guys on the team. In fact, I've seen Joe Gans. I was at a speaking event, and Joe Gans got up and basically stood on a chair for Taylor Martinez and was defending him to a crowd and argued with a couple ladies that were ripping on him. Joe Gans wouldn't do that for anybody. I mean, Joe Gans really loves Taylor Martinez and has worked hard at this kid, and as have a lot of the players on the team. So I do expect him to have a pretty good year as long as he can stay healthy.
A couple more questions here for Sean Callahan and Mike Babcock as we look ahead towards the Husker season. Just like you guys, everybody says, how's Nebraska going to be this year? And then they follow the folks that asked me, they followed up with Martinez thinking that's going to be our problem. I say, there's no doubt in my mind that the Nebraska season will hinge on how good this defense is at the start of the season to avoid any kind of an upset, and matures when we get to Wisconsin and Ohio State for the Big Ten, start of the Big Ten play. You've got a new coordinator in Papuchas. We went through some growing pains almost every year under Bo Pelini. Somebody's new in some role here. Biggest concern for you guys, Sean?
Yeah, I'm not worried about the offense either. I think with Martinez and Burkhead and the receivers and the tight ends, I think they've got a decent line coming back. They lose a couple guys, but I do think this offense has the chance to be as good as any in the Big Ten. I'm with you. It's the defense. I think linebacker, they don't have enough linebackers right now for Big Ten standards, and that probably is going to take another year before it gets to the point where it needs to be. Zaire Anderson, Will Compton, and Sean Fisher, and those Alonzo Whaley, those four guys need to have good years, big years for Nebraska to have this defense be successful. I think the defensive line is going to be pretty good. They returned three of their four starters, you know, and they have a lot coming back at both the DN and the D-tackle spot. I think safety is going to be fine. Damian Stafford and P.J. Smith are good players. I think those guys are going to have really good years. It's the corner position with Andrew Green, Mo Cisse, Siante Evans. Those are the players that, you know, have to have good years for Nebraska because their cornerback play, I thought, stepped back a lot last year. It wasn't near as good as it was, you know, obviously the previous few seasons.
Mike, any other place that you have a concern this early before we get into fall ball?
Well, I wouldn't describe it as a concern necessarily, but I think to me it's the key to the offense, and that's going to be the key to whether people think Taylor Martinez is playing well. And actually, if Taylor passes like Peyton Manning and runs like Tim Tebow, I think people will be happy with that. But the offensive line, I think the offensive line and people that have followed Nebraska over the years and saw those national championships under Tom Osborne and even Bob Devaney, the offensive line is the key to what Nebraska does on the offensive side of the ball. And so I think that offensive line has to develop and play to expectations, and I think expectations are pretty high. If the offensive line plays well, then I definitely say then the defense is where you want to focus your attention and see how that defense comes along. But for me, it's kind of a traditional way to look at things, but the offensive line is the thing that I want to see come together and play at a very high level.
I think Amir Abdullah was the new kid on the block that came out of nowhere to rock the Huskers' world last year, the fans anyway. Sean, you get the pulse of the new recruits and who's coming in. A lot of people want to know if Jordan Westerkamp is going to see significant playing time. Who's the new face this year that has a chance to make a big impact on this Husker team?
Yeah, I think Westerkamp is somebody to look towards. But one guy I've heard a lot about in terms of his physical ability, a couple guys, Tommy Armstrong, the quarterback, has looked great this summer. The question will be, do they want to redshirt him or let him play? I lean towards more redshirting him. I'm also really excited about Amani Cross, the incoming freshman running back out of Jacksonville, Georgia. This guy is just, you know, he looks for the coaches make jokes that he looks like he's already 30 years old. And, you know, they have a physical strength test they put these guys through when they get here. He did 41 pull-ups during the strength test, which was far and away, I believe, maybe the most on the team. You're talking about a 230-pound back here doing 41 pull-ups. And, you know, so that kind of tells you his potential. And, you know, if they need that big back, it depends. You know, Mike Merrow, too, is somebody, if Mike Merrow can complement Rex Burkhead in those big short yardage carries, then maybe you can redshirt Amani Cross and let him develop more. Otherwise, he could be a guy that plays. On the defense, Charles Jackson, he's a corner that came in. He's finally here. He was a Rivals top 100 corner. Sat out a whole year. He's a true freshman. Look for him. I think he's somebody that has a shot of maybe making an impact as well.
Mike Babcock, Sean Callahan, last minute here. Mike, you've started another new venture. Tell the folks about it.
Well, Hale Varsity and Aaron Babcock were no relation, unless you go back to England about 1640. I think we figured out there's some relation there. But, you know, Aaron's starting the magazine. He's a great he's got tremendous insight into the market, and it's going to be a little bit different approach to Husker coverage. A little bit bigger magazine, a little bit better definition on photographs and pictures, and kind of an emphasis on Husker fans, because the Husker Nation mentality, I think, is kind of the driving force behind it. Also, wanted to get into a situation where we had a locally produced publication. So I'm excited about it. You know, at my age, you don't get too many opportunities to do something fresh and new, and so. That was a great opportunity for me, and we're really excited about it, and I think it's going to be very successful. fresh new way to look at things.
Of course, Sean's going to be back in our area with Husker Lunches this fall. Sean, outside, I guess you think it's going to be 80% Penn State while we're in Chicago the next couple of days. What story from a football standpoint do you really want to dig into?
Well, yeah, you know, 99 out of 100 years, the Urban Meyer joining the Big Ten would have been the big story of media days. That's going to be on the back burner. But, you know, I still think there is some fascination with Ohio State and Urban Meyer now coming in the league, and then, you know, Michigan and Brady Hoke and what he's been able to do there. And then, you know, Michigan State has kind of been that silent assassin in the league. No one really counts on them to do much, and they have been doing a lot. Iowa's kind of an interesting story with two new coordinators. Greg Davis is the offensive coordinator now, replaced Ken O'Keefe. And, you know, he's the old Texas coordinator with Mack Brown that went way back to North Carolina with Mack Brown. So there are some interesting football storylines in this league. Wisconsin has another transfer quarterback coming in with Monty Ball coming back as well. But, you know, seven of the nine assistant coaches have left that staff, six or seven of the nine for Brett Bielema. You know, so there are definitely a lot of good storylines. But, man, I'm just really going to be curious what it will be like in terms of media there covering the Penn State storyline, because I could see this media day as being as crowded as any I've ever covered before.
Well, it's July 25th, gentlemen, and I know that that's a long way away from September 1st, and for Husker fans, it's too far away. But we ask everybody on the show, we've talked about it, we've broke it down now for the last 35, 40 minutes. What is your opinion? How do you think things are going to sway with the Huskers? Mike, what is your expectation of this football team this year?
My expectation is that Nebraska is in competition to get into the Big Ten championship game. And if Nebraska can get there, obviously you have an opportunity to win it. That's what Bo Pelini has talked about from day one when he got here. He's here to play for championships. I think that's a reasonable expectation for Nebraska to be in a position to do that and be successful in getting a BCS Bowl. And I think that if that's accomplished, I think that's significant because Bo has not been here that long. You know, four seasons is not that long.
Yeah.
So I think that's the important thing, to have an opportunity to compete for a championship and get over the hump on that.
Sean?
You know, I think the season, if they can win the four non-conference games, that's the first thing they have to go through. Southern Miss is probably the toughest opener they've had since Oklahoma State in 2003. This is a really tough opener. The Conference USA champions with SEC-type players, and then going to UCLA, they're going to be tested week one, week two. You know, Arkansas State shouldn't be that tough of a game. You know, with Gus Malzahn, though, you know they're going to be well-schemed on offense. But if they can get out of the first four 4-0, then Wisconsin comes into Lincoln, and they can get that game. They're 5-0 going out to Ohio State. That Ohio State game is going to be really tough to win, though. Playing out there at night, no one wins out there at night very often. But to me, the swing games for this season are Michigan State and East Lansing, and then Michigan and Lincoln. Obviously, Northwestern's a big game, and Iowa's a big game. But I think the two Michigan games will really define if this year is a 10 or even an 11-win potential season, versus maybe an 8 or 9 win type year in the regular season. And, you know, but if they can, you know, take care of business in those two games against the Michigan schools in Wisconsin and Lincoln, you really have to like Nebraska's chances to win their division. But, you know, that's a big if at this point, because there are just so many unknowns about this team with Taylor Martinez and then obviously the defense.
Well, and I think this defense will have enough talent to not get upset in those non-conference games. Wisconsin, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State. I see that as a 2-2 split, as I said earlier in the week. I think this is a 10-2 football team, which I think it'd be a pretty darn good football team. Guys, anything else you wanted to touch on? We've kept you over time, but appreciate anything else you wanted to touch on.
Well, I want to know about those things that Sean's going to speak at so I can get out there and take some notes on that stuff. But beyond that, I think I'm good.
Well, you might
want
to come to Sipples instead of mine then, right?
Well, guys, Sean Callahan, Husker Online, and from the new magazine Hail Varsity, Mike Babcock, Husker historian. Thanks, as always, for your generous time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and look forward to seeing you throughout the season.
Thanks, Doug, Sean.
Sean Callahan, Mike Babcock with me here on the Doug and Daddy Show on this Wednesday, leading us up to Chicago tomorrow. Mike will be with me tomorrow and Friday. I mean, I'm looking back at the host of folks we had last year on this program from Big Ten Media Days, a list way too long. We had half the coaches at least, had a ton of great players, all the Huskers. And a reminder, tomorrow the Huskers are to be up first for Radio Row. That's Rex Burkhead, Kyler Reed, Will Compton. So don't be late tomorrow to the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll be there from 11 till just past one, both Thursday and Friday, bringing you as much as we can, and of course always bringing back some interviews for the next couple of weeks when we return from Chicago. And Huskers are covered on our recruiting coverage, as we talked a little bit of that with Sean Callahan. Always brought to you by our friends at T&L Irrigation Systems, with a GPS ready to go on there. What is it? That's right, their brand new PPC Point Control 3. Check it out at T&L Pivot. They control options available by calling your local T&L dealer, or check the website out, TLIRR.com. It is real-time operating information that you need to put more money in your pocket to make those crops look better and yield better for you. T&L Irrigation, the place to be. And again, the Huskers that are going to be out in Chicago the next couple of days will be Rex Burkhead, Will Compton, and Kyler Reed. There are so many great athletes that are going to be on hand, and we're looking forward to bringing all of that to you on Thursday and Friday. Then we'll be back. Cox Classic coming up next week, and before you know it, the high school football season and fall sports season will be upon us as well. And don't forget, Sean Callahan will have our daily Big Red reports every weekday morning and during the noon hour just after the Doug and Daddy Show, keeping you up to date on the very latest from Husker Camp. Don't forget, lunchtime is coming up, and the Chicken Coop is the place to be. They've got lunch specials every single day, 7 days a week for you. Pretty warm out. Maybe you want to try one of their salads, cool you off a little bit, do something on the lighter side. It doesn't matter. Pizza, burgers. They've got some great appetizers, ribs, steak. And, of course, tonight, big burger night every Wednesday night at the Chicken Coop in Grand Island and Kearney. You can order any burger off the menu for just $5. 7-ounce ground chuck and fries, just $5 every Wednesday night. Cheeseburger, mushroom burger, Totally Jack burger, the bacon burger, your favorite tonight and every Wednesday night at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. We will take a final break here on the Doug and Daddy Show and be back to wrap things up after this.
Honda salesman, this has been the craziest weekend of my life.
Oh, yeah?
But you know what, man? I'll never forget you. Or the great deal I got on my new Honda Civic.
Well, 0.9% APR financing for well-qualified buyers is a pretty great deal.
And no one can ever take that away from me.
I should say not.
Another happily ever after moment, brought to you by the huge inventory and great deals at the Honda Summer Clearance Event. See dealer for financing details.
How much coffee are you going to need today? 4, 5 cups? It doesn't last very long, does it? Listen. 1 5-hour energy lasts for several hours, so you can get a lot done without refills. It's packed with B vitamins and nutrients to make it last. Plus, 5-hour energy is 0 sugar and 4 calories. So the next time that 2:30 feeling hits, you have a choice. 2 or 3 more cups of coffee, or 1 5-hour energy. For more information, go to 5hourenergy.com.
Individual results may vary.
In a recent study on ingredients in CTS Clinical, typical weight loss results are 21 pounds in 12 weeks. But listen to these real results from real customers.
A year ago, I weighed almost 240 pounds. Thanks to my boss recommending Complete Nutrition, I'm down to a lean 167 pounds, and I'm all muscle.
Start your own weight loss success story with CTS Clinical from Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Boardman's off Highway 281, and in Kearney just north of SunMart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
There we were, me and my buddies at our favorite hangout, Cunningham's Journal. This time, we're sitting out in the courtyard, which is pretty cool. It's like you're sitting out in the tropics, got the palm trees, beachy scene, bunch of TVs to watch sports, and of course, live entertainment every week. When all of a sudden, I had an urge to get a frozen margarita. Of course, my friends just laughed. If you're looking for a good place to hang out this summer, eat good food, or even have a margarita, Cunningham's Journal in the courtyard is the place to be in downtown Kearney.
It's important and it's personal.
The pressure.
Either you're sitting here talking to the Big Ten conference media or whether you're sitting at the water cooler.
The gossip.
Maybe I shouldn't have done that tweet, but
the pride.
Humbling to be part, in my opinion, of the greatest conference in this country.
The confidence.
I'll let my pages talk.
At Big Ten Media Day, where we send Doug Duda and Mike Will to Chicago for live two-hour Doug and Daddy shows. Brought to you by Bruce Furniture on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today. A chance of scattered showers and storms developing as we head to a high near 98. Winds turning north at 5 to 15. Tonight, chance of showers and storms early on, then a low cooling to 66. Right now, it's 86.
And welcome back to the Doug and Danny Show in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Once again, I want to thank Sean Callahan and Mike Babcock for joining us for that very extended chat of Husker football, and hopefully that will give you a little bit of insight into where the Huskers will be as they head into their first practice. Don't forget Fan Day, 1 week from Friday afternoon at Memorial Stadium on the 3rd. First practice is Saturday the 4th. And always, when you want to talk Huskers or any of your favorite sports teams, Cunningham's Journal, The Loft, and Courtyard, the place to do it. And as you head out for lunch today, don't forget Cunningham's is there for you. Set in the air conditioning, enjoy some pizza, prime rib, maybe a brisket sandwich, burger. How about chicken or their bacon-wrapped skewers, shrimp, steak? They're there for you. Maybe you just want a salad, a great appetizer. They've got so many great sides as well. And you can eat outside of the tropical scenery of the courtyard or inside in the upgraded air conditioning of Cunningham's Journal. And don't forget, every day for lunch, any specialty burger and a bottle of the coldest domestic draft beer in town, only $6.49. Entertainment in the courtyard and entertainment inside on the weekends as well. Don't forget about it as you enjoy your sports, your live entertainment, and lunch today at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, located on 23rd Street in downtown Kearney. We are out of time on this Doug and Daddy Show. It's time to head for Chicago, folks. That's where Mike Will and I will be the next couple of days with extended Doug and Daddy shows, talking to some of the great athletes that will be competing for their respective schools, and of course, will be deluged with Penn State. What will happen with Michigan now that they have suspended their top running back in Franz Toussaint? Ohio State with Urban Meyer, new coaches at Wisconsin and Iowa with a lot of new assistants, maybe not head coaches, but new assistants, and of course, new head coaches at a variety of schools, including Illinois, who kind of shocked the world to start the season last year and then sputtered down the stretch and got rid of Ron Zook. There will be a ton of storylines, and we will be there to cover them for you. So again, thanks to Sean Callahan and Mike Babcock for being my guests today, and a whole slew of guests coming your way Thursday and Friday. Enjoy the rest of your day, everyone, and we'll see you tomorrow live from Chicago on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.